Today's reading is Acts 4, verses 5 through 28. It picks up midway through an event in Jerusalem just after Pentecost. The apostles Peter and John had been
thrown in. Hang on, Candy, just one second. I'm not sure we can hear you. Here.
Thank you.
Is it on? Okay.
The apostles Peter and John had been thrown into prison the evening before after a crowd gathered to hear them preach about Jesus. They were able to draw an eager crowd because through the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter and John had healed a man who had been crippled for his entire life. It was a newsworthy miracle, and the people were amazed. However, the preaching of Peter and John that Jesus of Nazareth, who had been crucified, was the risen Savior, and their acts of healing in his name got them in trouble with the leaders of the temple in Jerusalem, and they were put under arrest. Please rise in body and spirit for the reading of the scripture. The next day, their rulers, elders, and scribes assembled in Jerusalem with Annas the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, all who were of the high priestly family. When they had made the prisoners stand in their midst, they inquired, "By what power or by what name did you do this?" Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers of the people and elders, if we are questioned today because of a good deed done to someone who was sick and are asked how this man has been healed, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who was crucified, whom God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. It has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among mortals by which we must be saved." Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. When they saw the man who had been cured standing beside them, they had nothing to say in opposition. So they ordered them to leave the council while they discussed the matter with one another. They said, "What will we do with them? For it is obvious to all who live in Jerusalem that a notable sign has been done through them. We cannot deny it. But to keep it from spreading further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to anyone in this name." So they called them and ordered them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, "Whether it is right in God's sight to listen to you rather than to God, you must judge, for we cannot keep from speaking about what we have seen and heard." After threatening them again, they let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all of them praised God for what had happened. The inspired word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. What I'd like you to do is to place yourself in this story. There are several people in the story, and so as we're talking through this today, be thinking about, who am I in this scripture? How do I identify with this? How can this become real to me? So let me first set the scene. This story is from Acts. And the full name of the book of Acts is the Acts of the Apostles. So it means the deeds or the teachings or the actions of what the early church did, what the apostles did. And Acts is written by the same author as the Gospel of Luke. So it was written in a two-part series, the Gospel story of Jesus, and then the second part is the Acts of the Apostles and how the early church began to take root. But most of the time, especially currently, what's very popular isn't the two-part series, but it's the trilogy. And the trilogy is really more the emphasis of what Luke was going for when he was writing these, that there are three parts to the story. The first is the story of Jesus, the gospel story. The second is the story of the early church, and the third part is us. We are the third part of the trilogy. And by us, I mean all of Christianity from the end of Acts so the middle of the first century, all the way through now. We continue to write the story of Acts. God continues to write the story of his church through us. So it's important to think about that because we do have a part in this story. The Gospel of Luke was written for a broad audience, and the book of Acts is written for a broad audience. And some examples of where we see that is in Luke, the genealogy of Jesus goes all the way back to Adam, to the beginning of time of creation. So Jesus' lineage goes all the way back to the beginning. Whereas in the Gospel of Matthew, it only goes back to Abraham, to the beginning of the covenant with the Jewish people. So the audience is broader because of that. Also in Luke and Acts, women are included. There are lots of places where there are prominent women in Luke that are not included in other Gospels. And the same is true in Acts. And also in Luke and Acts, the Gentiles and the Samaritans, so non-Jewish people, were written into the story. It is written for a very broad audience because the gospel of Jesus Christ is for everyone. At the beginning of Luke, we see Jesus declaring his mission. So this is in Luke chapter 4. It says, Jesus returned, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. He went to Galilee, and reports began to spread throughout the surrounding country. He was preaching in the synagogues and praised by everyone. Then he came to Nazareth, where he went to the synagogue, where he'd been brought up. It was his custom. He stood up and read from the scroll of Isaiah at the place where it said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight of the blind, to let all who are oppressed go free and proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And then it says, Jesus sat down and he said to them, "Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So he was giving here what his mission was. His mission is to go to proclaim release to the captive, to heal and set salvation for all. When he said it's the year of the Lord's favor, that meant it referred back to the Jubilee where debts would be released and everything that people owed, they would be reset. So it is a time of redemption and reconciliation, being set free from debt. And that is what Jesus came to do. So then in our passage today, Peter is repeating the same mission of proclaiming new life, freedom, wholeness, reconciliation, redemption, all in the name of Jesus. And it's despite the fact that these same rulers that he was talking to, Annas and Caiaphas and all the others, were the same ones that in Luke and in the other Gospels had bound together with the Roman authorities and had Jesus put to death. And Peter explains that. He says, "Rulers, people, elders, if we're questioned today about some deed that we've done to some sick one, how this one has been healed, let it be known to you and to all people that this man standing here who has been healed, who is in good health, is done by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the one who you crucified, who God raised from the dead. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders. The stone has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else." And so this is the name that Peter was proclaiming. He was just going on, repeating what he had already learned from Jesus, that there is salvation in no one else, that Jesus came to release the captives and to bring healing and salvation. So that's where we're at right now in the scripture that was read. It starts out with, in the morning, they brought the prisoners to them, and they had this discussion back and forth, and Peter and spoke to them. But the reason they were in prison, if we back up to the next day, is found in chapter 3 of Acts. And if we just are going to back up a few hours to 3 o'clock in the previous afternoon. At 3 o'clock the previous afternoon, the scripture tells us that Peter and John were going to the temple to pray, as was their custom. So they were just going to church. They prayed at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. They were going to church just like usual. And they saw a man who was laying there. And the scripture says that he was more than 40 years old and that every day someone carried him and laid him there so that he could beg for money so that he could have enough to sustain himself. So if you can imagine being a 40-year-old man and being taken every single day and laid somewhere so that you could beg, that's what this man's life was like. And Peter and John had surely seen him before because it was their custom when they were in Jerusalem to go to the temple. It is not at all unlikely to think that Jesus had seen this man because this story happened only a couple months after Jesus' crucifixion and he went to the temple. So it's very likely that Jesus had seen this person that was lame, could not walk, and was laid there as well. It's possible that he begged from Jesus as he was begging from Peter and John. And so Peter and John said to him, We do not have silver or gold, but what we have we will give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, be healed. And it says Peter extended his hand, gave his hand, and helped him up, and his legs and his ankles became strong, and he was not only able to walk, but he was able to jump and leap for joy and celebrated what God had done. So he was healed. And then you can imagine if a person that you'd seen for 40 years that was unable to walk was suddenly able to walk because someone had told him, get up and walk in the name of Jesus, that you would want to know what was going on. And so there was some commotion, and it said that Peter and John then had a captive audience. And with the captive audience, they were able to proclaim that this happened in the name of Jesus. And not only did this healing happen, did he get restored, but that everyone could be restored. And that everyone could be forgiven. All they needed to do was repent and believe in Jesus Christ and in the resurrection, and they would become a follower of Christ and have salvation and new life in his name. And so one thing that stood out to me when I read this, and I suggest that you all read this several times this week because the story is very rich with things, but that Peter and John were just ordinary people. Listen to what the scripture says here. It says, when they, meaning the teachers of the temple, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they realized that they were uneducated and ordinary men, they were amazed and recognized them as companions of Jesus. So, Peter and John, normal guys, going to church, and they didn't have all the right language, surely, because it says that the temple people said, well, they don't seem to be educated, you know, so they didn't have good rhetorical skills. They didn't know all of the background that the leaders would have known. They saw them as uneducated, but they saw their boldness and what they were proclaiming, and then they said, they looked at him closer because they were perplexed, and they said, oh, I recognize these people. They were with Jesus. And so it is in that recognition that the leaders start to get nervous. And in fact, the word the Bible says, in this, in NRSV anyway, is that they were annoyed. So the leaders were annoyed that this was going on. They had tried to stop them. They had had Jesus put to death, but this pesky sect was still around. And so they arrested them and put them into jail. I want you to think about a few things. First of all, think about that Peter and John had a routine. Peter and John had done this several times before. They had gone to temple and to synagogue many times. This was not something new, but it was something new that day. And it was something new that day because they had been, if you look back to chapter 2, they had been empowered by the Holy Spirit. Pentecost had happened, and they were empowered by the Holy Spirit to look and to act differently. And so I think it says to us, you know, how do we, what are our routines, and what does the Holy Spirit speak to us that we should do something different? They were just regular people, but they were empowered to live differently. And it wasn't just Peter and John that had a routine. This man who was healed had a routine. And I wonder what he thought. I wonder if he had any thoughts toward being healed. If his routine was just to come and lay there, do you think that he thought he would be healed? I wonder if he'd heard about Jesus healing people and he'd hoped Jesus would heal him, but Jesus walked by. I wonder how that felt, to feel like he'd been overlooked. And I think that sometimes we get so into our routine that we give up hope of things being different. Not that we get hopeless, but that we just get so content with the way things are, even though it's incomplete, that we don't ask for anything else. That we don't expect God to move in our midst or to do something in our lives. Of course, the leaders of the temple also had their routines. They wanted things to go as they had been. They were tired of this pesky sect that was preaching in Jesus' name. They had gotten rid of Jesus, they thought. So this was annoying, right? And they were following God's will. Okay, they were the leaders of the temple. They were doing what God wanted, or so they thought, right? The problem was that what they wanted for their church was so intertwined with what they wanted for themselves. And it was so enmeshed in their own power in that place. And so they weren't able to see clearly that God was doing something different. They wanted to stay in their routine too. They wanted to keep doing it as it had been. But they were also confronted because they noticed that these men were doing supernatural things, and they knew that they had been with Jesus. And it says, they said to each other, "What will we do with them? For it's obvious to everyone who lives in Jerusalem that a notable sign has been done through them. What are we going to do? We cannot deny it." But, it says, "to keep it from spreading further among the people, let's just warn them not to do this anymore." So they called Peter and John and they said, "Stop this. You may not preach anymore in the name of Jesus Christ. You may not do it." Of course, Peter and John said, "Well, that's not really for you to judge because God told us to do this." But they wanted to follow their routine as well. And then, of course, those are the main characters in the story, the main ones that it's easy to pick out to see if you might identify with them. And then there's also all the other, the onlookers, the people that maybe some of them saw this, they were amazed and they believed. Some of them saw this, they may have been perplexed or skeptical. Some of them maybe were too busy to even notice, and they just went about what they were doing. So who do you identify with? I'm back to that first question. Who in this story reminds you of where you're at right now? Again, it's important to think about that. It's important to think about where we are as the body of Christ, who each of us are, what role are we playing, and how do we see ourselves? Because we're the third book of the trilogy. Okay? We are the continuing story of God's work in the church. The very last verse of Acts is Acts 28, verse 31. This is the very last verse, and it is talking about Paul, who was under house arrest. And even though he was under house arrest, it says that he was proclaiming the kingdom of God, teaching about the Lord Jesus Christ with all boldness and without any hindrance. So that's our legacy. Our legacy is that no matter what, ordinary people, we continue to preach and teach and share about Jesus with boldness and without hindrance. So, are you like the lame man? Are you one who comes here today in need of healing in one way or another? Are you maybe someone who feels overlooked and maybe even overlooked by Jesus? Is that you today? That maybe you have given up on hope for things to be different and you're just content with how they are? Or are you like the leaders who think that you have the way that it's supposed to go in mind? You're busy following God's rules, but it's only God's rules as you see them. And so you're stuck with just issuing threats or just not sure what to do because you just need to push on the way that it's been. Or are you like an onlooker with all those options that maybe you are believing, or maybe you're skeptical? Maybe you just flat out refuse to believe what God is asking you to do. Or maybe you just need more time. You know, it says that thousands were added that day, but we know as time goes on that more and more were added. So maybe some people heard that day, but they weren't ready to say yes. Or are you like Peter and John, who you have had this whole routine of your life, and yet one day you're confronted that you're going to do something different. The Holy Spirit has empowered you, and you're going to do something different, even something different in church, that you would listen to the Spirit of God within you, and you'd say, I'm done with doing things just the way it's always been. I'm going to listen to what God is saying to me, and I'm going to do it. I am empowered by the Holy Spirit. The thing that's common to everyone in the story and to everyone in this sanctuary is that we have routines. And when Jesus comes and speaks to us, our routines get upset. When Jesus tells us to do something, we don't get to keep doing things the way that we've always done them, because Jesus changes things. In the name of Jesus Christ, things change. So when we awaken to the Spirit of God that is working within us, we cannot continue to do everything the way we've done it before. God has spoken, and something new is to happen. So when that happens, we either say yes to Jesus, we say yes to the Holy Spirit, or we say no, or we say, wow, I'm going to have to think about this. I'm not sure if I'm ready. So I am thankful that Peter and John said yes. That Peter and John said, well, I do not have money to give you, but I have the power of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to heal you. Get up and walk. And then they proclaim salvation in that same name of Jesus to everyone. They were willing to do that. Jesus wants to upset my routine. Jesus wants to upset your routine. And when our routine is upset, we are not left empty. The scripture said Peter, what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. Peter was not empty. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit works within us too. And it's not just that Peter was by himself. Peter had John. They were in this together, and they had the whole community of believers, and that community was growing. And so we don't respond to Jesus on our own either. We respond as a community. The Holy Spirit works within us as people, and we listen, and we do together. We are in this together as a community. So Jesus upset their routine, and Jesus upsets our routine. Particularly right now, we're in this pastoral transition where things, as they have been, are going to change. And as a group, we discern and we move forward together through the power of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus wants to upset our routine too. Jesus wants us to do something different. Jesus wants us to move forward together, seeking his will together. Amen.